love for us. Amen.
Amen.
And go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. This is kind of going to be our starting off point. And this is actually the first verse that I shared with the church in Prague during our survey trip. We're just going to start by reading this one verse here. And then there's another passage we will get to in the course of time. But Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, kind of straightforward, but very applicable. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." What a big commitment, amen? That's a lot. I was born in Oklahoma City, off the Northwest Expressway at Baptist Hospital, amen. So from my birth, praise the Lord. And born to two wonderful parents. You saw a picture of them there in the video, and they worked hard to provide for us and take care of for us, and I'm very appreciative of that. And they raised me and my three younger sisters, And I had the great privilege to be taught the Bible from a young age. I know that not everyone has that opportunity, but my family, we got to go to church and been blessed to hear biblical truth for all my life.
Amen.
Right? And now that's a two-edged sword, or there's a pros and cons. The con is that we can sometimes take things for granted when we've heard them our whole lives, right? Because we don't value them as we should. But because of that, unfortunately, my spiritual growth was not guaranteed. I wish, especially for my kids, that I could just guarantee, man, because they're in church and they're hearing the Bible, that they will mature. But that's not the deal. We all have our own free will, amen? We each and every one of us have to make decision every day. Am I going to walk with the Lord, and am I determined to grow, right? That's a decision we each have to make, and you know, I attended a good church, and it just can't be forced upon you, amen? Even though you come here and you willingly drove here, you can sit in a pew, and the Word of God can go right over your head, amen? And I know everyone has their life. We each have our own health problems. We each have our own struggles with work, with family, with money maybe because of health, right? And we come to church and we can say, you know what? Let's see what God can do. Instead of expecting him, amen, and say, Lord, what do you have for me?
Amen.
And, man, I try to get this across to my kids. We, as missionaries on deputation, we have an amazing opportunity to be able to travel the country and just to meet different brothers and sisters
amen.
In Christ.
That's true.
And we get to see the heart of different pastors, and we get to see how God is working in different ways. And for us, like, we are in the excitement 24/7, right? We get to be in missions conferences almost all the time. So we're hearing other missionaries speak, and I have just another praise. The Lord has just, and eternity can testify to this, has just allowed us to be with some great men and women of faith.
Amen.
That have given us wisdom starting off. And I'm not just trying to toot your pastor's horn here, but even the last missions conference, talking to veteran missionaries that have just encouraged us, and we're just so thankful for that.
Amen.
And God just arranges those things. You know, growing and maturing in God has to earnestly be sought after and applied in humility, amen?
That's
and
right.
Much of my adolescence, I did not do that. I wasted opportunity after opportunity, Sunday after Sunday, and James 1:22 spoke just directly to the condition of my heart. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And I would say that I was a pretty good person just overall, but my Christianity lacked depth, right? I looked good, I sounded good, but my prayer life, my Bible reading, shameful, non-existent, and for a long time. And it seemed that I could get by without a close walk for God for years, but however, your nutrition catches up with you eventually, right?
That's right.
And I was just spiritually anemic, maybe is the best way to describe that. But thankfully, God is gracious, amen. And He's merciful and He's long-suffering, and I need all of that I can get. And He's allowed me to grow. He's allowed me to mature. And my wife's thinking, he needs some more of that, amen, and I do. But looking back, amen, comparing back. But behaviors and attitudes were changed, and God convicted me and grew me. And bitterness was revealed in my life that I had. And failures in my marriage were rectified and continue to be, amen. All right, we're getting better then. And I could see that God was really helping me to mature spiritually. He was helping me to grow and see some different things. And in the past 10 years, God has really blessed and grown our family in many different ways. Our three kids and three hard pregnancies and all premature, but God has brought us through those things. And really, it was hardest on my wife. But the Lord has just been gracious in those things, and God has allowed just some hardships to grow us. And I praise the Lord that we don't always understand the context or the reason why God allows certain things in our life, but not all the time. We're not going to be in Hebrews 11 today, but man, at the end of Hebrews 11, it says, man, they went through it all, sawn asunder. And some of them didn't even see the fulfillment of their faith.
That's right.
And so God doesn't always allow us to really see why some things are happening in our life. But I praise the Lord when He does, amen. And I can look back and you can look back in your own life. And you can say, yes, Lord, thank you for allowing me to go through that. And use it in this way or that way. And I praise the Lord for that. He's done that in our lives. And we've, as the video said, we've been able to serve on staff at Beth Haven. And honestly, I was happy if God wanted to keep me there as a second man for the rest of my life, I'd be happy to do so. But the Lord brought up this need in the Czech Republic, and we prayed and we said, Lord, send someone. But I also said, send us if that is your will.
Amen.
And so just so happens that He wants us to go. So we're going. And I praise the Lord for how He brought that apart. I don't know if we have time to go through all of that, but we're going to be here for a while, so we can chat about that later. I'm looking forward to be able to talk with y'all a little bit more about that. But it's just been a blessing. So in 2023, as the video mentioned, God directed our family and to surrender to the Czech Republic. November, we took our survey trip, and God blessed and just opened doors. And gave us just significantly cheaper airfare. it was just the doors blew open, wide open, and man, blessed our visit there. And we surrendered without talking to the men of the church there. The men of the church, you saw some of them speaking at the end. We surrendered and without asking them, we just listened to the Lord. But we got there, and the spirit was just sweet. There was a spirit of unity, and all the men there were excited. They were on board, and we told them, listen, we're coming here to become citizens. We're here for the long run, and they were like, oh, really? It's like, yeah, but we're serious. God told us, so we're coming. And so there's just Lord directed our steps. That's all I can say, and just blessed. And while we were there, Lord just really gave us a love for the city there in Prague. I'm in Oakey. Oklahoma City is certainly not a small town. It is a city. But I really like being able to get in and out, city to country. If you've ever been to Oklahoma City, you can get into the country. So I've visited family in New York City. I've been San Francisco. I was like, man, I could never imagine myself living here. And I really didn't. Nice to visit for a little bit. I was like, man, I don't know how to understand how people live here. And I know, if you're born there, you're kind of raised in it, that's one thing. But I wasn't really sure. I know the Lord wants us to go to Prague. I'm not sure how my flesh will react, But the Lord just really allowed us to love it there. And we weren't there for super long, and I know being there long term is a little bit different. But it sure is a sweet assurance when you get there and God's like, you need to be here. And that's absolutely what happened. And we, you know, spoke to a country that speaks a different language, different history, different culture, just the assurance and peace that God gave us. We just praise the Lord for that. And the church there really is just a, it's something special. It is really a labor of love and faithfulness by the Reddigs that God used in a great, great way. The majority of the men you saw in the video there were atheists. And the Lord just used his word and used the Reddigs to be able to reach them. Amen. And say, hey, listen, you're believing a lie. And we'll share more about them later this week. But it really has been amazing. And we just really fell in love with the city there and the culture. And it's the city's there has been through a lot. And we'll talk more about the history there later. But we'll go ahead and get into the word there. As we look at everything that lies ahead, I remind myself that God will keep his promise in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Amen. And it's not a brashness or a pride or anything like that, but my confidence comes from claiming his promises. Amen. Right. In his word, and I have to constantly claim them. I'm going to be honest. That's because right. my flesh doubts God. My flesh says, are you sure about this? And I say, no, but hold on. Let's get into the word. Oh, wait. Yes, I am sure because he assured me. Amen. And he promised, and just as we have a God who solely did the work of our salvation and offered it as a free gift to us, it is God's work. Amen. And he's going to solely accomplish it as he wills. My job is to do this one simple thing, to take the next step of faith.
That's right.
Just to take the next step of faith, not because of my intellect, not because of my strength, not because of my wits, not because of anything in myself, but solely because God's loving, guiding hand is guiding us down this path. Amen. And despite my greatest efforts to fail, I was no match for God's grace. And I say that specifically when I go to churches because it's true. And it's true in each and one of our lives. It's solely because of his grace.
That's right.
And it's actually because of my fear of failure that perhaps it took longer for my spiritual growth. I don't like failure. It hurts. Right? Does any of you just like love being embarrassed in here? No? Okay. I'm like y'all. I don't like to fail. I don't like not accomplishing my task. And it doesn't look good. And maybe that's just because I'm prideful. Right? I want to look good. And I think that's exactly why I often struggle to do more for God. And here's the glaring problem that you've probably already noticed with that thinking. When there is zero risk of failure, then there is zero room for faith. Listen, if you've got everything figured out in your life already, how's God supposed to do any work? If you have every single contingency prepared for, if you have already thought about your faith promise missions and said, you know what? I've done my Excel sheets. I know exactly where this point of risk versus reward meets. You know, I've done my ratios. I've done my pivot tables and all these different things. Can you call that faith? I don't think so. For our faith to be exercised and to grow, there has to be a shortcoming of our ability. There has to be a place where God can step in and work. Amen?
That's right.
It has to be acknowledged. And we also have a recognition that, hey, listen, God has to intervene. And the fruit of that is the glory of God. Amen. The fruit of that is God getting the glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Verse number 5, and we're going to read down through verse number 10. It says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And this is Paul speaking. He says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And the context here as we're coming into this passage is Paul is really in not a fun situation, right? There were some in Corinth that were bringing his authority into a question, his apostolic authority. So we find Paul at the beginning of this chapter really recalling the revelations that God gave him, received. Potentially, maybe this was at the time when he was stoned at Lystra. But he goes on, and in verse 7, he says he tells them that God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh. But these first couple of verses, he's really, as humbly as he's saying, as he can, he's saying, listen, I don't want to come off wrong here, but y'all need to listen to me. That's the gist of it. He said, the Lord gave me this authority. The Lord gave me these things, and I don't want to brag about it. I don't want to come off wrong here, but those that are speaking against me, they are wrong. Okay? So that's kind of how he starts things off. And then he goes on in verse number 7 and says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. He says, listen, just so I'm not, you know, becoming cocky because of what God has allowed in my life. And he goes on, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Right? And this is a very familiar passage here. And he says, God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh, and we learn three important yet not fun facts, just to be honest. Some truths that are, these are not great amen points. You know what I mean? We find out that sometimes it is the will of God to have sickness in your life. Sometimes it is the will of God for some things to come in your life that are less than ideal. Not a lot of fun thoughts on that one. I mean, that's just straightforward. Sometimes we also learn that God allows Satan specifically to attack us.
Right.
I mean, let's think about Job, the life of Job, right? That is a tough passage to read. I mean, you think about what that man went through. And God allowed that in his life. We are in such an interesting part of history that God has allowed us such a peaceful period of time as believers in this part of the world to be able to be witnesses.
Amen.
Without repercussion. Okay, maybe you don't get a raise, right? But listen, you're not losing limbs. You're not being chased out of your home. Listen, we're not being at risk of losing our lives. What a blessing that is, amen.
That's right.
I understand. I've been born and raised in the same time period, but it's sometimes hard for us to see those things because it's what we are used to. And man, every freedom that we have to be able to be a witness, let's not forget the great blessing that is.
That's right.
Let's not be unthankful for that great privilege that we have.
Right.
Man, you hear about those preachers, you know, that they preach health and wealth, amen. You know, you follow God and you'll be able to live high on the hog. That message doesn't preach that well to the New Testament believers.
That's right.
What did the New Testament believe? The early church, what did they go through?
That's right.
They were scattered. They were persecuted. They were driven out of their homes. They lost their lives. And was that the will of God? Absolutely. Really, you look at it this way. Anything that happens, it's filtered through God's hand. Now, not everything that happens is because God caused it to happen, but
right.
Everything that happens... Because we live in a sin-stricken world, right?
Right.
You might even have someone that you've lost in your family just because of the epidemic of alcohol in our nation who has lost their life to a drunk driver. That was not their fault. That was the sin of someone else that they were influenced by. But listen, remember this fact. Everything that does happen in this world passes through God's hand and God allows it.
Right.
So, we find that sometimes it's the will of God for sickness. Sometimes God allows spiritual attacks. Sometimes the reason for that, and Paul is very specific about it, is because God wants us to stay humble.
Amen.
In verse 7, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Verse number 9, though, he goes on, but at the end of verse 7 it says, lest I should be exalted above measure. But then he goes on, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me.
Amen.
What a powerful prayer that is. May I say, Lord, in my failures, in my shortcomings, in the things that I'm not great in, Lord, I pray that you would use every aspect of my life to be glorified. The problem is that we want to be glorified in the things we're good at. Right? Lord, take the things that I enjoy, take the things that I really love, take the things that make me look good, and use those. You know, some people, they're people. They're extroverts, right? And they love talking with people. There's a gentleman in our church, and he's a great witness. And I wouldn't say it's because he's naturally good at it. He's allowed God to use that talent that he has to be able to just talk with people. But God's called those that are shy. Myself, it's not a great trait for a missionary, right? To not want to be shy. But God has called us to minister and to love others and to share the gospel, not because we're naturally good at it, but because it is our reasonable service as believers. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul is praying here, and he prays three times for an answer in verse 8, and he got one. Sometimes the answer is no. Amen. But it's no for a good reason, and he goes on in that verse we just read in verse 9. He explains that he can glory in his infirmities. He says, listen, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And what does that mean? What does it mean for God's grace to be sufficient? He helps us through crisis and pain. It means he's going to provide physically and emotionally in our time of trouble.
Amen.
And it's not just a spiritual grace that God provides, but it is a physical one. It is one that God allows us to go through these things, and in those things, God says, I'm going to use that weakness to be glorified.
Amen.
Not only that, but God's power is upon believers who yield to him amid their weakness. And verse number 10, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
Because of these truths, he says, because of these things, he says, I'm able to choose and take pleasure in suffering for Christ's sake amid these failures, amid these things that the world would look at. I said, man, why would God allow that in your life? Sickness, insults, emotional and physical distress, persecution, trauma.
Yeah.
These are things he's listing. These are things that we all go through. When these things come, is your response, Lord, thank you for giving me another opportunity to have faith and allow you to take control. Is that our that's not our natural response. I pray that is your response, but if we allow our flesh to just autopilot respond, we say, no, I don't like this. No, let's stop right here. It might even be this attitude, God, how dare you? If we're really wrong, we say, Lord, why would you allow this to happen? You know that I love you. You know all I've done. You know I've been faithful. I give in faith promise missions. Lord, why would you allow this to happen? Where Paul is saying the attitude we ought to have is, Lord, thank you for another opportunity for you to be glorified in this failure. Lord, I know in the midst of this, there's nothing I can do to rectify this situation. There's nothing I can do to make this sour situation turn positive. But I do know that you're in control.
Amen.
And I'm going to surrender and submit in this time and allow you to step in and be glorified. Now, that's all good and all, but maybe we hear that and say, man, yes, Brother Ethan, We ought to trust God and do that. You're right. But listen, this is not an immediate deliverance. Sometimes God works a little bit slower than we desire, right? We had a situation in our family that just hurt my wife quite a bit. And situation, we tried to sit down and we tried to deal with it, but the problem was not able to be fixed, right? There was a offending party that just did not want to reconcile. And long story short, we had to give it over to the Lord. We said, Lord, this hurts. We love this person, but we've done all we can, and the rest is in your hands.
That's right.
So we stepped back, and I had to draw a line. Probably I didn't do it as soon as I should because my wife was getting hurt. But long story short, you know what? 10 years later, we saw some people that were involved starting to apologize.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for that. But 10 years.
Wow.
You know, that in the midst of it, when it first started, I was like, man, Lord, a couple weeks, you know, let's sit down. 10 years. But you know what? We could have, in those 10 years, we could have been angry. We could have been bitter. And we could have stopped dead in our spiritual growth.
That's right.
Our family. Me and my wife. And I guarantee that would have affected our kids. And we said, Lord, why are you allowing this? Instead, we said, Lord, we've done all we can. You're going to have to step in.
Amen.
And over time, the course of time, God worked. Amen. Things were fixed.
Amen.
And not everything, there's still some scars, but I praise the Lord that God was glorified in that.
Amen.
Here's really the main point that I want to share with you tonight. I'm stealing it from the scripture. It says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So much of our spiritual growth relies on us, like I mentioned at the beginning, returning to the cross. When we first came to the cross, where were you? You were at the end of yourself. You understood there was no way you could reconcile yourself with what you've done. Your sins could either be paid by yourself in an eternal place called hell, or you could allow Christ's finished work on the cross and accept that free gift.
Amen.
And repent. Amen. And when you were at that point, you absolutely knew only Christ can fix this.
That's right.
Only Christ can fix this. And that's the place that we need to be today. Back at the foot of the cross. Back and realizing, Lord, I know that you've given me some freedom to do some things, and I know you've asked me to take some steps of faith, and I know there's some things not right in my life. But Lord, I'm asking you to step in and take control. I'm asking you, Lord, that I know I'm a failure here, but Lord, I need you. And here's the prayer that's often missing in our lives. Very specifically. Father, please bring me to the point where my strength ends and yours begins.
Amen.
Very simply. Seeking after God's moving hand in our lives. You know, if you look for nothing, you're going to find it. My pastor always says, and I tend to agree with it, and I found it to be true, that at least in our church, God does a whole lot more in our missions conferences than he does in our revival meetings.
Mm.
And the reasoning for that, I believe, at least at Beth Haven, is that we sometimes come to church at revival meetings saying, Lord, what you got for me? Whereas missions conferences, we tend to come with this attitude, already, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yeah.
And really, that has to be our attitude every service.
Amen.
Lord, I'm here. What would you have for me to do. Lord, what do you want me to change? Lord, what do you need me to surrender? And that prayer I mentioned, what does that specifically look like? It specifically looks like your flesh being uncomfortable, screaming and kicking in pain and discomfort. It looks like a situation where only a miracle will work. It looks like taking a step of faith. It looks like those incredible accounts we read in Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen.
Of brothers and sisters of faith following God in incredible situations and circumstances. Monica Dickens, the great-granddaughter of Charles Dickens, she wrote a book about families with children dealing with life-threatening illnesses, and in it she shares a story of David. He's a 2-year-old boy with leukemia, and he was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston and to see a Dr. John Truman. And Dr. Truman specialized in treating children with cancer and different blood diseases. And Dr. Truman's prognosis is one of those where it basically kind of swallow your heart, right? And he told his mom, he said, a 50-50% chance. Those aren't good odds. And they had countless clinic visits. They had blood tests. They had intravenous drugs. And they just... the fear and the pain, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure many of you have, you've hurt so emotionally that your body aches. If you've ever grieved, you know what I'm talking about. There's literally an aching in your body, an unrest. And of course, David hurt himself, all the tests. And David never cried in the waiting room, and he called him friends. People there in the clinic called him friends, and even though that they hurt him and stuck needles in him and all those different things, he always ran in with a smile, this little boy with leukemia. And when he was 3, David had to have a spinal tap. You know, painful, of course, at any age. And it was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. And his mom said, if it hurts, it's because he loves you. And, of course, the procedure was horrendous. It had to be. That's the nature of what that procedure is. And it took 3 nurses to hold David still. And he was yelling and sobbing and, of course, struggling. And when it was almost over, the tiny boy, he was soaked in sweat and tears and just an incredible little boy. He looked up at the doctors and he gasped and he said, thank you, Dr. Truman, as he called him. He said, thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting. Mm. He had a real understanding of what he was going through.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes the Lord allows hurt in our lives. We don't always understand why. But if we never take a step of faith and allow him to work, then how is he ever going to get glory? How is he ever going to grow our faith?
That's right.
If every time something comes along, we plan and devise a way out of it, how is God supposed to get in and work in that? Taking a step of faith. So my question, very simply tonight, and we're done, what is your next step of faith?
Amen.
Maybe you've never taken one and you're not even sure if your sins are forgiven or if you die, you're 100% sure that God will let you in heaven. I just met you, but I know my testimony, and I know I lied to myself for a long time. And maybe if that's your testimony, you need to take a step of faith and say, you know what? Yes, Lord. And you understand that your sins need to be forgiven. Maybe it is a financial step of faith, and I know it's Faith Promise Missions Week, and maybe you've not tithed like you should, or maybe you haven't been faithful in your missions giving commitment. Maybe it's a testimonial step of faith, and there's someone in your life that you've still not witnessed to. Your intercessions for them have stopped, and you have not prayed for them like you know you ought to, and you haven't even asked for an opportunity to witness to them yourself. Maybe it's a surrendering step of faith, and there's someone that God wants you, or there's something that God wants you to step up and do.
Maybe there's a need here in the church and you have the ability but not the desire.
Maybe you got to get on your knees and say, Lord, please forgive me for this attitude. Lord, give me a desire to follow and serve in any way that I can.
And maybe it is you have no idea what your next step of faith should even be.
You say, you know what? I don't even know. I haven't even thought about it. I've been there.
You should be asking, Lord, what do you want from me? Father, we come before you tonight, Lord.